Hello, and welcome to the Burley Times. I want to thank Paula Gordon and Ian Cobb for taking the time to have conversations with the candidates and to be able to share those conversations with you. Anecdotally, I've talked to some of the candidates, and they're having some degree of difficulty engaging folks in this campaign. There seems to be some apathy and simple disinterest. I encourage you to please engage the candidates. Find out who they are, what they stand for, because this is an extremely important election for Kimberley, for the region, and for the province. Not that all elections aren't important, but this one in particular, because we no longer have an incumbent that is running for re-election. So the MLA that we get is going to be extremely important for us to be able to achieve our objectives over the next 4 years. So engage the candidates, find out what they stand for, please listen to these conversations, and most importantly, on May the 9th, get out and vote.
Jerry Taft, I am always interested in why anyone would run for office, especially at the provincial level. You have a perfectly good life, and you're going to allow yourself to be drawn into the maelstrom that is politics, running for MLA. Why would you do that?
Very good question. Sometimes I ask myself that. But I've been involved in politics in one form or another since basically class council in grade 5, and then throughout high school, being involved with youth parliament. I used to write some fairly contentious letters to the editor, as I think Mr. Cobb can attest to.
As a 10-year-old, yeah.
And then I ran for and was elected to Invermere Council at the age of 20 in 2002. So I've been serving on Invermere Council since then. I was elected as mayor in 2008. So this much time spent in politics, it kind of gets into your blood, and the issues are pretty important. And so one gets motivated to stay involved and to, in this case, try to take some of the issues and some of the concerns of the region and try to bring them to a provincial perspective.
We're sitting in the city of Kimberley in British Columbia, the Columbia River Revelstoke riding, but Kimberley particularly will have some issues and some opportunities. How would you elaborate on what both the issues and the opportunities would be in Kimberley, as it kind of represents the other cities as well in this riding?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the main issues in Kimberley include services. So services that the provincial government deliver, those include things like education, healthcare, and other main core government services, can even go as far as highways and those sort of things. And another really key and important issue is around small businesses and around local food production and some of the opportunities that small businesses can play in diversifying an economy and allowing for year-round, stable, well-paying jobs. And I think that's especially important to Kimberley and also other communities in the riding. And then some of the other issues that are perhaps more of a provincial nature or at least common among everyone in BC include things around costs. So the cost of BC Hydro, the cost of MSP premiums, the general cost of living.
MSP being?
Medical Service Plan premiums. And some of the other costs that seem to be increasing at a very high rate. A lot of fees, a lot of hidden taxes are continuing to increase. So I think a lot of people are finding that life is getting a little more unaffordable, and they're being told that taxes are low, yet they seem to be paying more and more money every month.
As a municipal politician, you're obviously very well aware of the costs to municipalities. Your experience as a mayor and as a councillor, do you believe that'll resonate in Victoria?
I really believe that we need a government who respects and works with local governments. So we need a provincial government which is going to try and open doors and work on proactive solutions rather than, and this is what I have experienced from my role in the municipal government world, is facing doors that are slammed in your face or simple a case of simply ignoring municipalities and local governments. When elected people representing their small towns and rural communities come forward with out-of-the-box ideas on how to make life better, they're looking for a partner with the province. They're looking for respect. And they haven't been getting it over the last 16 years.
So what's the difference in a place like Kimberley between issues and opportunities?
That's a very good question. So I think in a lot of cases, the issues and the opportunities are the same. So some of the issues around the economy and around year-round stable employment, those are also opportunities. And I think we've seen in Kimberley in the last couple of years a real resurgence of the Platzl and some of the businesses in Kimberley. And I think it appears to be doing very well, and that there's a lot of really unique niche businesses which are employing people and which are allowing people to stay in the community. So yeah, it's both an issue and an opportunity.
The Columbia River Revelstoke riding has lots in common between each of the cities, and some things in common between the cities and the rural areas. And this is a long sweep of a riding. It goes from Revelstoke, actually, I think Mica, on the north end, and then a long curve down the river to Kimberley. What do you see as the common issues affecting all members and constituents of this riding?
Yeah, I would suggest that there's a lot in common. So the main communities in the riding being Kimberley, Invermere, Golden, and Revelstoke are all very much tied into the tourism industry. They all see different seasonal influxes of visitors and to some degree have a significant number of second homeowners and out-of-area pressures on real estate. So these things are all common factors. And although the exact population figures between each community do vary slightly, they're fairly similar in size and in makeup. So in that way, what's unique and I think nice about this provincial riding is that there's no outlier, there's no single community which is facing extremely different issues or pressures than another community. And that's why I feel my experience being mayor of Invermere since 2008 and being on the regional district of East Kootenay that long, that those issues and those skills that I've learned are completely transferable to the provincial level and completely relevant to the other communities in the riding.
It's a very interesting riding going all the way from Revelstoke to Kimberley, and it's a really beautiful riding. But it does make a difference, doesn't it, at the provincial level that the province has a lot of rural in it?
It does matter. And one of the things that I think really needs a focus of the provincial government, something I really want to advocate for the region, is most of those rural areas or all of those rural areas are governed by regional districts. And right now, regional districts do not have the same powers and do not have some of the same tools that municipalities have. And it is an issue. It is a problem for some of those rural areas. And it's something that I think needs to be addressed and some work needs to be done to bridge some of the gaps between the tools and the powers that municipalities have and that regional districts have. And that can have a direct impact on the life of the people in the rural unincorporated areas.
What would be an example, though, of what you're talking about?
One of the examples in a regional district context, there's no discretionary or very little discretionary funding of certain projects. Basically, everything has to be based on a service area. So to fund, for example, the operating costs of a not-for-profit society, or to decide to do a little bit of funding for a certain group that's doing great work in the community using volunteer efforts, that often requires a referendum in order to create a new tax. So it's a very complicated and sometimes regressive way of being able to deliver services. There's some pretty silly examples out there where they have a service area to fund the electricity cost for some streetlights in a small rural area. Again, very complicated, couple hundred dollars a year. Surely there's got to be a better way to do things.
Okay.
This is kind of a civics lesson for me. There really is a three-tiered kind of a relationship here that I hadn't thought much about. When you're in Kimberley, one is affected by the rural district of which we are a part, the RDEK of the East Kootenays. So it leads me to my next question, really, which is, what is the role of our MLA in thinking about the relationships between these different levels of government? How do we both trickle up and trickle down in the role of an MLA relating to these various levels of government?
Absolutely. I think the most important role of the MLA is to represent this region to Victoria and to take those interests and those concerns and those values and bring that forward. to a lesser degree, there is sometimes a need to communicate some of the decisions in Victoria and to communicate some information back. But that's not the primary role, in my view, of the MLA. And unfortunately, in 2011, or 2001, sorry, we saw a BC Liberal MLA in this riding who, from my perspective, only brought information from Victoria back to the region. It was a one-way flow of information. It was basically reading a party script and telling this region what the party told her to say. And that is not what the role of an MLA should be. The role of the MLA should be to take the interests of the people here and bring that back to Victoria.
Essentially, the final ruling authority for any kind of development in, or growth in the region is the Ministry of Transportation and Highways and Infrastructure. They stamp the bylaws that you guys send on to them, and then you do the final reading.
In the regional district context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much discussion is there between the MLA and the Ministry of Transportation and Highways? Let's say there's a 10-unit or a 10-lot subdivision in Briscoe, and the community is against it, but the regional district and the Ministry of Transportation are going to stamp it through. There is, I see there's no role right now for the MLA to become involved. I don't recall ever seeing anything like that. Do you think that should be part of an MLA's role? Intermediary between the regional district and their constituents?
I think the important role of an MLA is to respect the local governments. And so there is a need to work with those that are elected and to be able to also respect different levels of decision-making and not to try to interfere with the work of local government. And that's something that I think we have seen a few cases of with the Christy Clark government. And the most obvious example to me is the case of the Jumbo Resort. Then Minister Bennett begging the regional district of East Kootenay to make that a municipality, although it had no residents and no people and no structures. So I don't think that that is the role of an MLA. And, you know, there are some legal distinctions with whether in the rural context, the Ministry of Highway being the approving officer, or in a municipality situation, there's often an officer of the municipality who's the approving officer. Those are legal roles that should not be interfered with by politicians. And so I think there's a need to separate sometimes the administrative arm or sort of bureaucratic arm of government and the political arm. And I think we have seen some examples where those lines have been crossed, and they're not good examples.
Okay.
I'm interested, actually quite taken, by hearing you say that you need to represent the values of our riding. What are those values? How would you represent those differently? But in particular, how would you articulate what those values are as our MLA?
So I think first and foremost, the values in this riding is real pride. Real pride in the community, pride in the environment, pride in where people live. People are choosing to live here. It's not because it's necessarily easy or that there is an abundance of well-paying jobs that are available for everyone. People are often having to carve out a living and make a niche and find a way to make it work. But that's because they really want to be here. And so that pride is strong in all the communities. It's strong in the whole riding. And so I think that is a value that is there. And we need to represent that and keep that intact. People should be proud of this region. And with that also comes the value of having rural services, having hospitals and having doctors and having schools that are open, and not having to drive to Cranbrook or drive to Kelowna or drive to Calgary or fly to Vancouver to receive basic services. People should be able to receive those services in their home communities where they're choosing to live.
And that would be something the MLA can affect.
Absolutely. And it's something that I would suggest the MLA should fight for those services and for those values, and should not sell this region short. We should not be promoting or encouraging centralization of services or cutting or eroding of services. We should not be selling our environment to the first person that comes around to buy it. And we should be fighting for these things.
And presumably you would.
I feel I would, and I feel I've got the experience to do it.
Should you be elected, what would be your first project? What would be your first, the first thing to go after?
Very good question. Some of that would also relate to whether or not the party I'm involved with forms government or whether they're in opposition. And that, of course, is something that I'll leave for the pundits to discuss. But I think one of the first things that would be necessary is to get involved in and review what case files or what information might be partially started. What might have been the work that Norm MacDonald was doing that has been cut short, and to try to work on continuing those projects. I feel very lucky and very blessed to have the support of Norm and a lot of his staff and a lot of his supporters. And I think the transition would be extremely smooth. So that would be the first and the most important thing to get underway.
Okay. Well, if I may follow on from where you lead us to follow on. So the MLA wins the riding, but is not of the party that wins the election. Now, I'm still learning how to speak parliamentary here. How then do you both, on both sides of that, say you win, say you lose, how does that affect, say you win and your party wins, say you win and your party loses? Speak to both those conditions.
Sure. So to some degree, whether or not I'm part of the governing party or part of the opposition party, those same needs to represent this region, represent those values, that doesn't change. And I believe that as an MLA, if you can, and I believe I could, speak strongly on those issues and make sure that they get the attention in the legislature and they get the attention within the caucus of the party I belong to, then we can move this region forward and we can do some great work. Norm MacDonald has provided a great example over the last 12 years of what can be accomplished even when you're in opposition. And some of the funding and the grants that have gone to this region, even though it's an opposition riding, Kimberley, Invermere, Revelstoke, Golden, all the communities have received significant infrastructure funding. The Trans-Canada Highway has received significant infrastructure funding. We've seen a lot of upgrades to hospitals. A lot of important work has happened. So the suggestion that you have to be in government to receive any kind of grants or any kind of benefits is actually totally incorrect. And it's also a very cynical view. If that were the reality, then that's suggesting that a significant part of British Columbia does not deserve to have their tax dollars serve them, that it should only go for people that vote for or support a governing party. That's ridiculous. That's not how democracy works. That's not acceptable. And so I don't buy into that philosophy. Granted, if I was part of a governing party and if we win on May 9th, then more things can be done. And we have some great platforms, some great ideas. But even in opposition, I think I can represent this region effectively.
Okay. It could be said that the NDP kind of missed the net in the last election. What's different this time around?
So I think, to be honest, I think being an underdog is not always a bad thing. And in this case around, I think most people would suggest that the NDP and John Horgan are, if not an underdog, at least not necessarily expected to win. And so it's a good position to be in. It's making us work really hard. And I think we've got some really exciting platform pieces and things that are resonating with real people. So $10 a day childcare, eliminating MSP premiums, putting more money into education, respecting and keeping rural services intact. These things are resonating with real voters. And the other message that seems to be resonating is that Christy Clark is really interested in the wealthy, really interested in the well-connected, really interested in those that are donating big money. And the NDP position saying, let's get rid of big money. Let's take the corporate and union donations out of politics. Most reasonable people are saying, you know, that makes sense. Why would we want a system where people from all over the world, big companies, anybody can donate a limitless amount and then seem to have direct access to a premier and potentially have direct influence over policy? That doesn't seem right. Government should be for us. They should work for you. They shouldn't just be for the wealthy and the well-connected.
So that's the get big money out of politics.
Yes, absolutely.
Could you lead the world on that, please?
Well, and I think it may be a bit of a charged statement, but I think what's often said by people at the doorstep is, we don't want to be more like America. We should be going in the other direction. And I would suggest going in the other direction means getting rid of the big money and cleaning things up.
Do you want to give me a 30-second elevator speech on why we should have Jerry Taft elected?
Sure. So I believe I have the experience, and I believe I have the passion, and that you only get one voice in Victoria. So make sure it's a good voice, and I think I can do that job and do it well. So I'd appreciate everyone's support on May 9th.